Thanks for joining us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention to the University of Wisconsin Arboretum. It includes the oldest and most varied ecosystem in the world. What does that mean? Well, we're going to find out from the new director of the ARB. It's a wonderful facility, and I'm sure Patrick Bolin, who took over as director of the UW Arboretum last October, is enjoying his time here. At least I hope so. We'll find out as we talk with him. Yeah, before coming here, he was a professor in biology at the University of Central Florida, and I'm going to ask him about his career a little bit as we talk, so I won't go any further than that right now. But let's zero in on the UW Arboretum with him. Do you know its history as you listen to Patrick talk? I hope you'll join in. History, the ecological significance. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Patrick Bolin, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. You can tell I'm a Madison neophyte because I didn't know how popular the Larry Mueller show was. So I do love WPR, and I don't get to listen middle of the day usually, so really glad to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you here. Tell us, talk a bit more. Before you oversaw the Arboretum, here you oversaw the Arboretum of the University of Central Florida. Maybe you can kind of compare them or talk about what was going on at Central Florida.
Oh, thank you for asking that. It's just such a dichotomy in terms of the differences of the places. And, interestingly, they're both really phenomenal organizations. And the Arboretum down there, it's a very young university, UCF. It's a dynamic urban campus, but they've got 1,400 acres. 900 acres of which was Florida natural land remnants or, some form of abused or remnant ecosystem. So really a great opportunity there. Your Arboretum was right on campus. So the students were right there. It was a little program, on the side of campus with a little budget, but I was also director of landscape and natural resources. So I oversaw the entire campus landscape, the land management. So I tried to kind of blend those two things together. And in a lot of ways, the UW Arboretum is kind of that kind of place where there's a big land management part to it, and as well as the academic part. So I just had reached a point there where I thought I had kind of reached my max and was looking for potentially other opportunities. And because I had been there, when I first got there, I hadn't directed an arboretum before. And so I looked around the country. What are the good arboretums? Look at the websites, do the research. And, of course, UW has always stood out as just one of the top. So when I saw the job, I'm like, I have got to apply for that. Yeah.
Well, this past winter was your first year. You've adjusted well to the significant change in climate, I hope.
Yes, I have. I actually applied to come to school here twice and was accepted, but went elsewhere. But I went to University of Michigan as an undergrad, and I'm from Ohio. But it's true that Wisconsin is just a little bit colder than those places. But I survived. I like the cold. Yeah.
Well, the ARB is seen, I think, as a model of ecological sustainability.
Yes,
how do you view it?
Yeah. Well, I really view it as, number one, I view it as a place that has a tremendous historical legacy. And, when you have that kind of a legacy like we do, we're on the National Registry of Historic Places because of the role this organization played in the development of ecological restoration, the field of ecological restoration. So there's a heavy weight of history here, which I do like, but I really see our role now as, giving an example of how you maintain and manage biodiversity in a complex urban system and maintain a teaching and research focus when, the world is rapidly changing, when times have changed, when we're facing new realities with our global environmental challenges. And so there's having the history really puts you in a good position to do those things.
And you mentioned the research center. Rather than a park, do you think many of the, we get thousands, I don't know how many annual visitors come to the ARB.
Yeah, Yeah, it's probably when they did the survey back in 1994, it was over 600,000 people who actually like come on to the ARB for one reason or another. It's probably a million people, you know, because we have our daily users that jog here every day and everything else. So that's, you know, one unique challenge of the ARB, and it's not that unique relative to some other universities. It's very heavy use. It's a very public interface, and, you know, not everybody who comes through here in that capacity, although we hope they enjoy the recreation and what we have to offer here, and also just the beauty of the natural systems. And we hope that they're learning something. And, you know, we hope that they appreciate and recognize that we do have a teaching and research mission, and everything kind of builds out from there.
Yeah, if you think about it, you've got a visitor center, a large visitor center. Mm-hmm. You've got an outdoor theater. You've got gardens, trails. You offer tours.
Yes. We don't really have an outdoor theater per se, but we have a lot of outdoor kind of venues.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways that people can interact with it, but most of our visitors are here to see the gardens, to walk the trails. And there are some informational things out there that people could learn just walking around. And, of course, we have a lot of people who come here who are knowledgeable about nature and actually contribute to some of our observations. So, it's a balancing all those things is certainly very challenging here, and reading back through old strategic plans and whatnot, it's been a longstanding challenge to balance all of our aspects of our mission.
I think the Arboretum, I'm trying to remember the history on this, it was established, I think they bought like 250 acres back in the 30s.
Yes. I don't remember the exact acreage, but it started, officially opened in 1934. Was the dedication, but I think that they might have had some more land than that. I don't quite know the progression of land. I know that they were acquiring parcels from Lost City all the way up to the 1960s. So, and, you know, have sold some properties. And we also have, I like to emphasize, we have 10 other properties, 500 acres throughout the state that we also manage, which are, you know, some of those are fantastic places as well.
I maybe talk more about that for just a minute, those other places, because I'm trying to remember if I'm familiar with any of them.
Well, some of them are right here in town over on Raymond Road. There's the Pesk Hillflower Prairie that we burn and manage. Abraham Woods, south of here, is just a beautiful historic sugar maple stand that has incredible spring ephemerals that we don't have here, not to that degree. We have Lodi's Mill is a bluff prairie, wooded kind of a bluff right when you cross over the Wisconsin River over by Sauk City. We have a place over there that's a really neat small property. And then Fable Prairie is a 70-plus acre site over near Lake Mills that Aldo Leopold was very instrumental in forming that as the third state natural area, which we still manage to this day. So we have some really nice properties offsite as well.
That's interesting. I'd kind of forgotten about that, but they're significant properties for sure. How big is the ARB staff?
The ARB staff, I think it's around 27 right now. We're pretty full up. It might not be the exact number, but I know we have one vacancy, but every other position we have on the chart is filled as of very recently. So we've got a full staff, and I think it's about 27 or thereabouts.
Okay, and a whole host of volunteers.
Whole host of volunteers. Of course, Judy Kingsbury is our volunteer coordinator manager. She oversees an incredible group of volunteers that volunteer for all different parts of our organization, of course. And we have the Friends of the Arboretum, which is really a volunteer organization as well, for the most part, that does a tremendous amount of volunteering for us. So we accomplish a lot through that, and we hope that our volunteers are learning something as well, because we want to hang on to that academic mission.
Yeah. You mentioned Leopold just in passing, but if I'm not mistaken, Aldo Leopold served as the Arboretum's research director. Maybe
That's
the first one.
That's right. Aldo Leopold was the first research director, and he was research director from the time of the Arboretum's founding. I think 33, actually, officially. 33 or 34, up until his untimely death in 1948.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still research director at that time.
How does the ARB reflect Leopold's legacy?
Well, you know, it's in our mission. The land ethic is currently in our mission. A lot of our emphasis is on caring for the land and conservation and applying the principles that he developed. And so, you know, he is just has a seminal influence in the whole field of conservation and restoration ecology. And as that is still part of our core mission, and him having been here really makes that legacy very strong, a very strong connection there. And there are other organizations, you know, that have that legacy to the Leopold Foundation. And we had other researchers here and other people here who also made major contributions in their own field. So we certainly don't want to overlook those.
We'll take some calls now. You can join in if you have a question. The number is 800-642-1234. Give a call with your own question, and let's take one from Mark in Madison. Mark, thank you for calling.
The Arboretum is an incredible resource. It is completely, of course, surrounded by highly dense urban development. There are a couple of questions. Invasive species and water quality challenges, especially in an era when climate is changing. How do you manage all those things? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, invasive species and stormwater, we'll call it water quality issues, or just water management issues, are major issues here. And they are major issues for a lot of different kind of entities, but really more so in urban areas. The invasive species that we face here, they face throughout Chicago, you know, in the urban areas. So that does place pressure because we get propagules that are brought into urban areas that then spread. So there are unique challenges in being in an urban area with the onslaught of invasives. And invasive control is one of our primary goals here, one of our primary management things that we do here in our land care team. And stormwater is, you know, people may not be aware, but stormwater and how it flows and how it was affected by the urban development has had dramatic consequences for our ecosystems here at the Arboretum. Major transformations of some of our most significant conservation landscapes. And, you know, we're trying to balance that, and we're finding a place where we can kind of have a set point. But we also have to accept that some of those changes are possibly permanent and will require constant management. And it's affected the way we've had to work with the city and our surrounding neighbors as well.
Could you give it maybe a specific instance or example of that?
Yeah, I'll give a great one on the invasive. I'll give you one, Larry, and it will have invasives and stormwater in it.
Okay.
How about that? The Green Prairie, which is Harry Green had developed, planted on the Grady Tract, which is one of our most just incredible prairies, and he was out there planting these prairie plantings for years and just created a very beautiful wet prairie down there on the south edge of the Arboretum. Well, for years, we were getting some stormwater runoff from the Seminole Highway there that kind of ended up dumping in and bringing siltation, a lot of nutrients, in over the west side of the Green Prairie. And as a result, we had an invasion of reed canary grass, which is a wetland species that is very, very hard to battle.
Yes.
And it kind of took over. I won't say half, but it's taken over a good portion of the Green Prairie. We've got it. We've created a front. And they've also corrected some of the stormwater issues. We kind of corrected them. But to go back and actually try to restore that would just require a tremendous amount of resources that, you know, we don't have, you know, maybe someday in the future. So that's just one example. And that actually also happened on our Curtis Prairie, which is our long-term, our world-famous prairie restoration. So these were related, these are invasive issues that were related to the stormwater issues. So they do overlap. And, of course, we also deal with the things that everybody else has to deal with, like buckthorn and honeysuckle that are pervasive everywhere.
And Michael had emailed to ask what's happening with the invasive jumping worms at the are you still researching control methods?
Yeah, I'm just going to preface that by saying before I came here 20 years ago, I was doing research in New York on invasive worms there. Mostly European, but we also did the jumping worms, which were from Asia. So I'm a little bit familiar with that. But one of the things people would always ask is, how do you control them? And I said, well, you really don't. You can try to keep them out of places. Once they get into a place, they are there and part of the fauna. But yes, we do have research ongoing. Brad Herrick, who is our former research program manager and who is now the director of the Lakeshore Nature Preserve, is still finishing his PhD. I think he's going to be finishing soon, and he did jumping worms were the major focus of his dissertation.
Oh, yeah, they're nasty. I'm glad I don't have them on my property. That's for sure.
Yeah, there are things you can do to prevent them from moving around, but once they get somewhere, it's hard to undo an earthworm. Yeah.
How is the funding handled to maintain the arboretum and keep it going and thriving? Of course, it's a University of Wisconsin thing, but talk about that a little.
Yeah, well, we have University of Wisconsin is our major form of support, obviously. On our annual, revenues and expenditures, the money that comes from the state is very important. I think it's, something about 38% to 40% of our budget. But we also have a significant amount of our budget comes from the endowments and gifts that we've had over the years, trust funds and gifts. I think they total about $26 million right now. And that really funds closer to 48%. Of our program. But we also have to, we don't pay our utility bill. UW pays our utility bill. UW takes care of the outside of our buildings. So they, there's other sources that help support us that really go beyond numbers that show up in our budget. But we're really, I like to say, a little less than half state funded. And then the gifts are really important because they fund a good portion of our program.
And as in your role, I assume fundraising might be a part of that goal, but
yeah.
Talk about your own role as the, here you are, director. What all do you do?
Well, it's something new every day. And you never know what's going to happen at the Arboretum, like a grenade shows up on the trail, like a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of what I've been focusing on is learning what we do here, and really we have an education program, a land care program, and we have a research program, and then our foundational unit. So just learning, it's taken quite a long time to get the lay of the land, and then just also trying to develop some strategic initiatives for moving forward. We had a really good strategic plan that came out in 2021. I'm just trying to help us focus on how do we implement, how do we move forward and where are we headed. So I've given a lot of effort to that. And then there's just a lot of things that the director deals with on a daily day, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Some of those are unexpected.
Probably a lot of them. Patrick Boland, our guest. You can join in with your own questions. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or shoot an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News as we talk with Patrick Boland, who is director of the University of Wisconsin Arboretum. Fun talking with him. He's been in it since last fall, so he knows where everything's located, I think, now. He had enough time to do that, so we kind of waited a while, Patrick, before we invited you. I thought, better let him get the lay of the land, so to speak.
Yeah, it's good to have the lay of the land, and I've almost gone through the seasons now because I was here in fall, so fall, winter, summer, and spring.
So you made it. Your own recent research has focused on the, if I'm not mistaken, the ecology and conservation of pollinators and other insects in urban ecosystems. Are you continuing that research at the ARB?
Well, we have a lot of activities going on here at the ARB involving pollinators. But my own research, that was really kind of a late career move. I'd always had an interest in plant-insect interactions, but I've done many different things in my career. And just because of my role at the Arboretum at UCF, I got into we became a Bee Campus USA, which is a national program. So I got into pollinators. I had students doing that. Then I became kind of known in the regional area, and there was a local developer who wanted to explore using native plants in their development, mostly as a way of reducing water requirements, because in Florida you do a lot of irrigation. And we convinced them that these plants they could use would have effects on pollinators, and we could look at pollinator habitat in suburban areas, and that's how I got involved in that project. And so it was kind of a good fit here because, the rusty patch bumblebee was discovered here years back, and that's become a very important part of our program here is people come here to see it, and we are participating. Susan Carpenter, one of our employees, is very involved with the research aspects and promoting and understanding, and lots of our partners and volunteers, Judy Cardine, who's on our board, she's very involved with the bumblebees. So I don't have a research project going here myself right now, but we do have a lot of activity in that area. We have faculty from entomology. James Kroll is doing photos, photographing bees on flowers with these cameras and actually taking videos and then trying to use machine learning and AI to figure out, you know, who's visiting those flowers. I hope I'm getting that right. and we've had other pollinator kind of projects here, but I'm not personally. I'm still wrapping up my work in Florida on that issue, that subject, and I don't currently have my own personal projects in that area.
And I was thinking, you mentioned Susan Carpenter. Susan's been a guest on this show many a time. And we've had some great conversations with her and that whole. Yeah, she's fantastic. Really a lot of fun to work with, too. Mm-hmm. You were, it was another email, you were a professor of biology at the University of Central Florida. Do you hope to continue teaching here in Madison at some point?
That's the other thing I would say about how this position has evolved over the years. And I've done a lot of reading back through, you know, the documents about the planning over the past 20 years or so. And, you know, one of the things that came out maybe 5 or 6 years ago, even before, you know, before my predecessor was hired, was, you know, the Arboretum staff has grown, the program has grown to the point where you really need a director who's really going to focus on administration. There was always this balancing of that person being a professor and teaching. I came here knowing that I'm going to be a full-time administrator. Not that I can't encourage science. I hired a research scientist, for example. I can't make sure that we are great partners and collaborators and that we do a lot of research here. But as far as teaching goes, so that was a little bit more difficult to imagine I would be teaching, but I do have an interest in undergraduate development and graduate student development. We have a graduate research fellow program here, so we have a cohort of grad students that we support, and then we have undergrads that work here in the summer, and I'm trying to develop that into a more integrated program so they have kind of a professional development experience in addition to the particulars of their job area. So those are probably the most likely ways that I would interact with students, and those are a little bit more one-on-one and programmatic, but we do support teaching, and I haven't at this point reached the point where I thought I'd be in the classroom. I did enjoy teaching.
Well, maybe they'll drag you in there for a guest lecture from time to time.
Anytime. Guest lecture anytime.
And I was, as you were talking about undergrads, I was thinking about some of my own. My academic department at UW is life sciences communication.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great.
And
yeah.
We've had a number of students at one point or another become involved in work over there.
Yeah.
Well, you succeeded UW Arboretum Director Karen Oberhauser. She was in that position, I think she started in 2017. How do you see yourself carrying on her work or leadership?
Well, Karen did some fantastic things here. One of the things many things, really. She did kind of a reorganization of the staff structure in a way that I think really works and I can see working into the future. And then I think I mentioned previously we have this 2021 strategic plan that she developed that really, to me, is a 5 to 10 year plan. It certainly lays it all out. So we're still using that as a guide and we'll continue to. We are still continuing to be involved with her a monarch larval monitoring program that we have out here. And she really kind of brought more emphasis on citizen science to the ARB, and you know, we have a full-time staff member working in that area right now, and we support that. I want to continue to support that. So, Karen left a great legacy, it's big shoes to fill, but we're happy to carry on her legacy.
Yeah, and as you look at that strategic plan, you maybe highlight a couple or two or three of the major points of that strategic plan.
Well, there are so many, and that's just so we're really trying to focus on and breaking it down into things we can accomplish in the shorter term. One of those things, for example, is the thing I just told you about, you know, if we want to develop this more integrated undergraduate experience, well, that someone has to take charge of that, and we have to develop a program and get it in place by next year. There are other units that are hoping to get some new approaches in place by next year, the education program, which will involve, you know, making changes and being ready by next March. We're working through a new research permitting process because we really had to streamline that and make it work better for us and the investigators who come here. Those are some of the things we'll be working on this year. And, you know, we hope to, we have our website, which is a wonderful website, but that needs to be updated. So those are some kind of some big things that actually take a lot of operational, you know, focus and are some of the ones we're going to focus on this coming year. And having hired a new research scientist, I'm really trying to invigorate the research program. And Jared Beck, who was a UW grad, came in June and is our new research ecologist. And really looking, we're really looking forward to getting projects off the ground with Jared and him really taking a leadership on taking our research program into the, you know, into the next phase.
Yeah, those are all really good goals. What do you think is the greatest challenge, or what are the greatest challenges to maintaining ARB for many years to come?
Well, I think, I mean, I think I'm feeling fairly confident about continued support. So hopefully, I know there's the federal issue with funding right now, but we've been able to survive with some good, solid support. So I do not fear or worry about the future of the Arboretum. I think it is an organization that it's such a community asset. It has such a deep historical legacy. I do think that maintaining the We're still engaged in some major restoration projects. Yes, we had successes, but some of the things our predecessors did actually contributed to some of our problems that we have or didn't do that we are still working through. So we've got some major new restoration initiatives that, you know, you just see these things moving on to the future. They take 50 years. They take 50 years to bring to life. So.
Well, 50 years from now, I'll talk with you about whether or not they all got.
That's right. Well, you know, what's the major act of conservation? Something about planting a tree you'll never live to sit under. Yeah.
Patrick, it's a pleasure. I hope we have a chance to talk again. In the meantime, congratulations and best of luck down the road here as you work at the UW Arboretum. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
Patrick Bowen is the director of the University of Wisconsin Arboretum, started last October, and you can tell he's a go-getter guy, and it'll be fun working with him down the road. Always fun working with our team. Oh, lots of people. Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. We covered a lot today. Thanks so much for listening and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.